thank you very much for the invitation and for giving me the opportunity to talk here. I'm very glad to be at this magnificent institute. So I put this second part in the brackets because I understood that I'm probably going to spend much of the talk at, like, introducing the whole framework of this, how does this algebra talk to the brains or whatever. So this part is kind of a more recent work, but it is based on something which I have been doing for a number of years. So I'm going to spend at least half of the talk with some, well, gentle introduction to the subject, like how these things work. And here one can speak from different perspectives, but since, like, I'm more like physics oriented, I'm not going to introduce the algebras in, like, in an axiomatic way with commutation relations and stuff. So I'm going to motivate the correspondence between these algebras and string theory, and then we will see how the properties of the algebras fit into this framework. And I think it might be more natural to see them that way. Okay, so the first thing the very basic idea of this correspondence is like toy example, toy model, if you wish, is the 3D Chern-Simons theory. So this is kind of a, I would like to think about it as a very simplified example of what I'm going to talk about, but the main protagonists are going to be there. So what happens here? We have a field theory. Field theory, really a gauge theory. So one can do some computations in gauge theory. And here, it is the theory with Lagrangian, and everything is fine. Like, one can do perturbative computations there. But one knows that everything in the quantum theory is described by the algebra, so by the quantum algebra. UQ of, say, SLN. So the field theory, like, one can write the action here with some number and the famous Chern-Simons form, right? But then we know that here there are natural observables, the Wilson lines, like the defects of the theory, or like the non-local observables. And they, of course, are governed by this representation theory of this algebra, because on every Wilson line, there sits a representation. And like the important part is that this Q is tied to this number. So if you do perturbative computations, you are supposed to get the same as this algebra. The thing is that here on the left-hand side, the structure is very constraining. Like, the algebra is sort of unique. So there is a structure of algebra, co-algebra, and in general, there is an algebraic structure which governs the theory so that many observables can be found, even if the perturbative calculations can be done only up to certain loop order. So since you know that there is a huge symmetry, you know that the algebra is fixed, you can know a lot. In particular, like, if you have this Wilson lines, so one knows that there are crossings. I'm sorry, I'm starting with some very, like, this is supposed to be a very, very basic example, and probably you know all that, but let me just start with something known before heading into something exotic. Okay. So the crossings of Wilson lines are supposed to be represented by the R matrices of this algebra, right? And on the other hand, in field theory, you can, in principle, calculate this as a correlator, and there is supposedly an agreement between these two. Okay, but the algebraic structure it allows you to do non-perturbative computations and compute the observables in the theory without actually performing a single Feynman diagram calculation. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is a generalization of this, where there are also going to be an analogs of Wilson lines of defects, but there will be more complicated algebraic structure, and in principle there will be a field theory description of this, the algebraic description of this, but just the structure is going to be richer. So I'm going to talk about a situation where the symmetry algebra is this quantum toroidal algebra. So the example is originating from a field theory, so tied to be string theory on the following background. So let me write. So there are 10 dimensions in total, and I'm going to write it like this. So there are three complex planes, and there are here the indices, they mean equivariant parameters. So there is an omega background here. Then there are three real directions, and then there is a circle. So one shouldn't care much about the circle, but the distinction between these real directions will be important. So what will happen in this background? What I'm going to describe? I'm going to describe some brains, and indeed, it turns out that like all of the brains of type 2B string theory on this background, on this equivariant background, are going to be described by an algebra from the title of the talk, by the quantum toroidal algebra. So what are going to be the properties of this algebra which one can deduce from the background? Let me first try to write some examples of brains here, and then we'll talk a bit more about the description of this situation. So the brains are going to be the analogs of the Wilson lines. So like in type 2B string theory, there are odd brains. So in particular, there are D3s. And there are some five brains, like D5 and S5, and there are seven brains about which I am not going to talk much. So the D3s in this background to conserve, I'm not going to to go into details about like why you can put brains this way, or you cannot put them in the other way. This is for the reasons of supersymmetry, and this is okay. I'm not prepared to talk about this, like how much supersymmetry is conserved. This is kind of not the point of the talk. Just giving the result that the D3 brain is four dimensional, so it's going to span these directions in the background, and there is an inherent symmetry in this background between Q T inverse and T over Q, because these three directions they enter on equal footing. So I need to additionally label my D3 brain with an index of the complex plane which it spans. So here it is going to be Q, and there are three others. So now we encounter the first example of a symmetry of the background, which translates into the symmetry of should translate into the symmetry of the algebra. So from this background, I'm going to deduce, sorry, so let me just separate this toy part. So from this, I'm going to deduce the tentative properties of the algebra of the what I'm going to call the quantum toroidal algebra. And first of them is going to be the symmetry between the parameters. So these three parameters should enter symmetrically. So there is going to be three types of D3 brains. The Q1, T inverse 1, and T over Q, all three are going to enter on equal footing. For the five brains, there is also a choice, naturally. It is six-dimensional, and it turns out that one needs to span two planes here. And there is obviously a choice of two out of three, so there are three possibilities again. And here with this Rx and Ry, the choice is dictated by the choice of this D5 brain or NS5 brain, again for the reasons of supersymmetry, which I'm not going into in detail. So the D5 brain is going to be along this y direction, and NS5 brain is going to be along the x direction. And they both are going to span S1. About this S1, I've told you that you shouldn't worry too much about it because everything is going to wrap it. So the important point is this part of the geometry and this Q, T inverse, and T over Q labels. So here, in analogy with this one, I should label it with the corresponding indices. So there are going to be three types of each five brain, spanning different directions. Okay, and in a moment I'm going to start drawing pictures similar to those pictures, just in this Rx Ry plane. And here you see that this D5 and NS5 brains are going to be represented by lines, orthogonal lines in this plane. Okay, now we should recall the second point. We should recall that there is an S-duality symmetry of type 2B string theory, which transforms D5 brain into NS5 brain, and keeps, sorry. So there is an S transformation which keeps D3 invariant and transforms D5 into NS5. So there should be NSL2Z automorphism of the algebra. Which corresponds to the S duality group of the type 2B string theory. So it should transform the representations like this. The brains should be transformed like this. And in a moment we'll see that the representations, they are going to be to correspond to the brains. So like here you have a Wilson line on which leaves some representation, say R1 and R2. I'm sorry, this R is not the same as those. So those two are supposed to be representations of the algebra. So here, each brain will correspond to a representation of this bigger algebra. So there's a kind of a general slogan that any brain configuration, brain is a representation of, so corresponds, sorry, to any brain, a representation of this algebra A. So this will be my name for this algebra. There are many names of it. In particular, one of them emphasizes that it is a quantization of a double loop algebra. And in a moment, I will explain why this notation looks like this. So for brevity, I'm just going to call it A. So to any brain, I associate a representation of this algebra, and the symmetries of the theory they correspond to automorphisms of the algebra. So these are these two are particular like are the main examples of this. Now there is a stronger statement similar to this picture. Like, you know that to a Wilson line you associate a representation. This is kind of you can see directly in field theory. Then the statement that the crossing of brains correspond to R matrix is kind of stronger. And in this setting, you also do have a stronger statement. So a brain junction, so we're going to have brains joining brains and brains crossing brains sometimes. And such pictures, we're going to draw pictures in a moment, correspond to intertwining operators. Operators between representations of A. So in more down-to-earth terms, intertwining representations are just invariant tensors. So if you have a bunch of representations, you have an operator acting like in a tensor product, which can be invariant under the action of the algebra. So here, for this huge algebra, there are also invariant, sort of invariant tensors, which are going to correspond to pictures quite similar to those for the Wilson lines. Okay, let me start drawing some pictures so that one can get the flavor of what's going on here. So you see here there is a zoo of brain. We have to start with something because there are three types of these D3 brains. There are three types of each of these D5 and NS5. And in fact, there is a whole infinite, there is an infinite number of different PQ5 brains. So they are going to correspond to lines which are neither vertical nor horizontal, but are at a given slope in this plane. So let me draw the pictures like this, like junctions and crossings, in the XY picture. So this is supposed to be X and Y. And the simplest example is a triple junction like this. Like here, this is supposed to be NS5, say QT inverse. And this is supposed to be D5 QT inverse. And this is the 1-1 brain. Again, with the same indices. Now, what it corresponds to in the algebra? First of all, we need to say what are the representations. What is the algebra? What are the representations? Now, so the algebra A, I'm not going to introduce it because it's complicated, and it has many it has parameters and defined implicitly. So I don't want to write out just a blackboard of relations, but the generators of this algebra are labeled by two integers, n and m, which span a two-dimensional integer lattice. So it's a doubly graded algebra. It's nonlinear. And so here are the generators. So the duality symmetry, the S-duality symmetry, acts on this lattice naturally. So there is a natural action on the generators, which like acts on the grading. Now, how do these E's act in different representations? So representations corresponding to brains. So the first one is about D3s. So the first line here, D3Q. So there it turns out that the representation is on the functions of a single variable. So E and M in this representation, say, which we call, say, rho, is just given by x to the power n. And here there will be a shift operator. So this operator, it just multiplies the function of x, the argument of the function of x, by q power m. So this in this representation, it acts on functions of x. Okay, so I can multiply by x, or I can shift the argument. And as you can see here, n and m, they enter sort of on equal footing. If you, for example, you can switch between n and m by doing the Fourier transform in x. So this is exactly how this SL2Z acts on this representation. So this representation is, you can, so SL2Z in duality leaves it invariant, as it should, because here, this S duality acts on D3 brain, leaving it invariant. So for the representation, for the automorphism group switching N and M, this S element of SL2Z, it also transform, like in the representation, it can be understood as a Fourier transform on this function. So this the space of function is still the same. Okay. The second part. Yes.
And this acts just on Laurent polynomials, or I can have like some prefactors with.
Yeah, you should. Well, this is a little bit tricky question. Laurent series, I would say, it's better. So, yeah. So for five brains, the representations are on the free boson Fock space, on two-dimensional free boson Fock space. F, which is spanned by states like this, where A minus N are the free boson generators. So these are the states of this representation, and they are labeled by Jung diagrams. So you can say that this is the same as the space of states labeled by lambda, the Young a Young diagram. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Is it better like this? Great. So the five brains, they correspond to a Fock space of a free boson. So here, since we are talking about five brains, there should be an operator which we can call psi. So this picture should correspond in the algebra to an operator which acts from F tensor F into F again. Now, this Fs, they are all isomorphic. The spaces corresponding to different five brains, they are all isomorphic. However, as vector spaces. However, as representations, they are they can be different. And the labels of the representations of this algebra, they exactly correspond to the labels of the brains. So here I have put F without any indices, since as a vector space, it is always like that. However, I need to actually put here some numbers, say N1 and N2, which represent the type of the five brains. So here I have a PQ five brain, but I, not to confuse Q with the deformation parameter, let me label it as with N1 and N2. So there's N1, N2 five brain corresponding to a certain way in which this E and M act in this, on this representation. I'm not going to write out the action of E and M, but they act with certain vertex operators. So E and M act as vertex operators. On F. And here I also need the indices corresponding to the deformation choice of two deformation parameters out of three. It turns out that in the algebra, there is a natural triplet of this representation. So this is one needs to make a choice of two out of three parameters, and then everything is fixed. So there are these two numbers, there are two parameters. And in addition to that, there is something called a spectral parameter here. So this U is the spectral parameter. And to see what it corresponds to, one needs to recall that this five brain, it lies along the y direction. However, its position in x direction is fixed. So this position corresponds to this spectral parameter U here. So U is actually a complex number, but I'm not going to talk much about how it is complexified. There is an additional phase arising from the U1 vector field living on the brain, but let us skip it for now. So here I'm talking about 1, 0, 0, 1. Let me be more precise here. Let me specify all the representations. And there is also certain relation between spectral parameters, like there is U, V, and U, V here. So there's a U and V are like exponentiated positions of these brains. So, yes, sure.
But like in the same classical limit, this should describe an algebraic curve, C star to C star, plus and polygon.
It should be something like X plus Y minus 1 equal to 0, something like that. So yeah, there is a description. Let me, maybe I can diverge slightly to write out the field theory description, which I think should be familiar to you. But let me just, to make it, make contact with this two examples, since I have now a little bit of space here, which neighbors this one. So let me just generalize from this to our not toy example. So here we are going to have a field theory description of this system. It is not complete, but it makes the analogy with 3D Chern-Simons more evident. So we are going to talk about in this not so toy example, we're going to talk about a 5D Chern-Simons non-commutative on a non-commutative space. So this is going to be an integral over R tau tensor CX and CY. These are cylinders, complex cylinders, which are complexifications of this part of the geometry. So this is the field theory description of that type to be set up. And here on this x and y, so I can draw here tildes over x and y to emphasize that this is complexification of uh, of Rx times Ry. So it can be viewed as a T2 vibration over this Rx tensor Ry. There is a natural holomorphic symplectic form on this, which is dx over x dy over y times the same action as here, except the multiplication here is non-commutative. So this is non-commutative. And non-commutative in a sense that x tilde y tilde is equal to q y tilde x tilde. So q is the parameter of this non-commutativity. And here in front there should be an additional number as here. So this is one needs to write introduce some parameter. And this parameter is going to be related to this second equivalent parameter, this equivalent parameter T over Q. So the symmetry between Q, T inverse, and T over Q is lost in this description, unfortunately. It's not naive, not explicitly evident. However, there is a Wilson line story here. So in this field theory description, D3 brains, they should correspond to, they correspond to D3Q, correspond to Wilson lines along R tau. And 5 brains, they correspond to defects lying on curves inside C star times C star. Sorry. So here is an example of one such curve. And this curve is like a toric, like the tropical diagram of this curve is exactly this diagram. So curves like this, for example, this correspond to 5 brains or 5 brain junctions if the curve is more complicated. So here also the SL2Z action is manifest. So SL2Z acts on the coordinates x tilde y tilde. It transforms as a doublet, leaving invariant this omega 2 0 form. And then as we can see that this psi operator can be described in this field theory description perturbatively in epsilon 2. So here, another analogy with Chern-Simons theory is that this psi obtained from the algebra, it is non-perturbative, like it is an explicit expression. Expression exact in Q, T over Q, etc. So here, one can obtain psi, can be obtained perturbatively in epsilon 2, in epsilon 2, which is more or less the log of T over Q. So this description is exact in Q, but perturbative in log T over Q. But the positive side is that it is a field theory instead of string theory. So there are 3 descriptions. Like one is abstract string theory, from which more symmetries are evident. The second is the algebraic one, with this psi operators and lots of other intertwining operators, which I'm going to introduce in a moment. And the third one is the field theory description, this non-commutative Chern-Simons description, which makes contact with the familiar story of 3D Chern-Simons, but it hides some of the symmetries. Okay, let me now say why. What is the role of this? What is this explicit expression which I get from the algebra? The explicit expression which I get from this algebra is called the refined topological vertex. Sorry. How to describe this psi as an operator? Naturally, one can put some states here, like matrix elements, lambda, mu, and nu, which can be arbitrary. So from that, I get a matrix element for psi. An object with three, which depends on three Young diagrams and also depends on Q and T. So this was discovered quite a long time ago, and it's called the refined topological vertex. Well, and the algebraic meaning of it has also been described, well, some time ago. It was an observation by Awata, Feigen, and Shiraishi. That the matrix elements of such an intertwining operator of this huge algebra, it corresponds to the known object counting certain, well, giving a refinement of certain Gromov-Witten invariants. So the topological vertex is about Gromov-Witten invariants on C3. So the refinement, it gives you a certain deformation. So here Q and T are the deformation parameters. And they're natural in the algebra. Now, there is the zoo of brains is far richer than just five brains of a given type, of given QT inverse type. So the zoo of brains is very rich, so is the representation theory of A. And so is the space of intertwining operators. Because I can have not only junctions, but it turns out that I can have a new ingredient. So now I'm coming to something which is more recent, and I'm coming to the applications of this algebra which I have studied recently. So there are crossings. So for the first example, there are brain crossings, what I call brain crossings, and these are look exactly like this. So if I have, imagine now I draw a three-dimensional space. This three-dimensional space, okay? Here I have a xy plane at a given value of tau 1, and I have another xy plane at another value of tau. And I can have a D5 brain here, and I can have an NS5 brain in the other plane. So this tau direction turns out to be topological. So nothing really depends on the distance between these two. It only depends on the order between them. And naturally, after some, I mean, a bit of conjecturing and a bit of analyzing this background, one learns that this should also correspond to an intertwining, a particular intertwining operator of the algebra. So I'm going to draw it in the projection on Rx plane. The same picture will look like this. And from the Stoic example, one can suspect that this should probably correspond to an R matrix. Because what it does, it exchanges a pair of representations. So it should correspond to an operator acting from F tensor F into F tensor F again, but in different order. So here, all the corresponding indices should be written like 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 0. Now, it turns out that this is indeed true. One can check, and one can try different backgrounds in which this brains live. And there are two statements which I am going to emphasize, which are like one of the crucial parts of this work, is that first, crossing corresponds to R matrix of A, which is by itself some a priori very complicated object. So algebra is huge. You see, it's an infinite dimensional algebra with its ENM generators. Its quantum deformation involves two parameters, Q and T. But there is a universal R matrix for it. And it turns out that if you evaluate it in particular representations, two Fock representations, one vertical, one horizontal, then it does correspond to a crossing of brains. There is some plausible arguments for this. And the second statement, this statement so far has been quite abstract. There is an R matrix which is hugely complicated. There is some string theory picture which nobody knows what it is. I can draw as many pictures as I like. I need some formulas. So the second statement is that this R matrix in these representations is explicitly computable, calculable. By this,
from the setup you showed us, you cannot cross this D5 and S5.
Yes.
R matrix
can be
used across any two modules.
Yes. So it's easier to draw. It's easier to draw it like this. So one can cross any pair of representations. Just this one is easier. Easier to draw. In fact, of course, the R matrix acts in between any pair of representations. Just some of them are easier to calculate, some of them are harder to calculate. So yeah.
But when you see the brains are parallel, yes?
So that's what bothers you. Like, you cannot draw two parallel brains. How do they cross if they don't change direction? Like, okay, not everything can be drawn. I'm sorry. So yeah, you should exchange them in topological direction. That's my understanding. So since nothing depends on tau, you can actually do something like that. So that's my understanding so far, at least. So let us focus on what happens here. So there is and by explicitly calculable, I don't mean like any like calculation to some order or like any given order. I mean an explicit expression for general states, lambda and mu here, and any states there, call it alpha and beta, for example. So it should be, I guess, a bra here and a bra there. So there is an explicit expression for this R matrix, which I'm going to use when I come to this spiraling picture. So what we have to learn is that there are crossings of different types of brains, like five brains here. And they correspond to R matrices. These R matrices are some building blocks. Like, what I like about this model is that a lot of things can be computed. Like the C lambda mu nu is something. it's not an abstract operator. R matrix is also an explicit operator. So now we are faced with a choice here, because you see I haven't put lower indices on this F. And there are essentially two choices. So there are two types of R matrix in for this D5 NS5 crossing. One of them is when the indices are the same, QT inverse, but it can be any pair. The important point is that they are the same. So of course they stay the same because it is an R matrix. This is one possibility. So 2A, there are two types of this R matrix. Say QT inverse. And I'm not going to write, of course, an explicit expression. Let me just emphasize that this is a very special operator. If I put lambda and mu here, it is still an operator acting on this space. But what is important is that this is going to be non-zero only when lambda contains mu. So this is a non-trivial statement. There is, of course, explicit expression for this case. But it is important to know that this there is a selection rule for the states lambda and mu, very strict selection rule. So the second possibility is when there is R, QT inverse, and QT over Q. So when these two brains, they span different subspaces, like that. Sorry. And this has not been considered before. So this turns out to be also explicitly computable. The selection rule here is that it is non-zero only when lambda intertwines mu. So what is intertwining of two Young diagrams? So what is does it mean that lambda contains mu? Well, this is quite combinatorially quite obvious. So if this is lambda, then mu should lie inside as a Young diagram. So this should be mu. So this means that lambda is contained in mu. Now, the intertwining is a bit more complicated. So I need to have parts of lambda and mu. So it is a stronger condition than just lying inside. So lambda 1 and mu, like lambda I, are the heights of the columns. So heights of columns of lambda. And they should satisfy the following inequalities, etc. So you see, if I just consider this inequality separately, this means that mu is contained inside lambda, but I have additional inequalities here. Okay. So why I'm delving into this technical detail? Because I'm going to need it in the spiraling case to get certain nice interpretation of this spiraling setup. So the bottom line for this brain crossing is that there are R matrices for 5 brain crossings, and also for some other situations. And the second, just let me pause for a moment, that there are more brain junctions. All explicitly computable. For example, there can be a D3 NS5 brain junction. I'm not going to talk much to talk about it, but from this stems the description of 3D n equal 4 gauge theories. I'm sorry, it should be probably like this. So there is a D3 NS5 and D3 D5 junctions. And you know that a D5 D3 NS5 system, it describes 3D n equal 4 gauge theories. This is from works of Hanani, Witten, for example. And one can use this algebraic formalism to describe partition functions of 3D gauge theories like this. Okay, now in the final 10 minutes, I'm going to draw a certain picture involving R matrices, which will correspond to a very funny brain setup, which I think deserves further study. And there is a certain interesting applications of this setup. So far we have been drawing this XY plane as a plane. Well, in all our backgrounds, this was a plane. Now, what if Rx times Ry is Rx times S1y instead? So we compactify this plane. So what will happen? Well, it is known that if you just compactify it, you have to match all the brains. Like, for example, I can cook up a picture with a pair of these vertices here, like that, which can be compactified like that. Imagine that my vertical direction, it is really a circle. And whenever my brain comes here to this line, there is a portal which teleports it here, right? So this brain is the same as this brain. So it is really a vertical brain wrapping a circle on this. So the whole picture is a cylinder. So it wraps the cylinder. So now you see that something is happening here, because there is a mismatch in this horizontal position of this brain, of the vertical brain, right? So this portal, it works in a funny way, so that there is a circumference of this circle, but there is also a shift. So here there is a shift. So to match the two ends of the picture, one customarily needs to make a horizontal shift when one glues. So it's gluing with a shift. Gluing with a shift. And this is natural from certain gauge theory point of view, because the gauge theory living on these five brains is, in fact, a 5D gauge theory. So let me draw another pair here. So the theory on CQ times CT inverse times S1 is n equal 1 5D SU2 gauge theory with an adjoint field, additional adjoint field. So this compactification, it amounts to adding this adjoint field. And this adjoint field has a mass, M adjoint. So this shift is exactly the mass of this adjoint. So if you have zero mass, something happens, and the supersymmetry is enhanced. So the brain picture, it's also decomposes into the product of a horizontal line and a pair of vertical lines, okay? Now the shift here should be the same. Otherwise, these two ends match and these two wouldn't. Everything should match. Now, and this kind of brain pictures have been known again since the 90s, that 5D gauge theories can be understood as PQ5 brain web compactified on this cylinder. Now, the next, like, and if a crazy thing to ask, like, what if they don't match? Like, what if the ends don't match? Like, okay, so this is, of course, this is prohibited because then you don't get a matching, and like, I mean, you need to have a consistent picture. Now, what if you think a little bit more, like, about this, and not just rule out this possibility immediately? Like, what if I have, imagine, like, this cylinder continues, and this shift is, of course, a global variable. This shift by M adjoint is everywhere the same. But what if I have an R matrix here? Suppose I have an additional R matrix here. Then there is no shift really here. So this M adjoint, there is no intermediate segment here. So it just crosses. And then when it enters the portal, it doesn't get here. It is shifted. So it goes, sorry, into here. Well, then it needs to cross one more time. Okay. I go another time, and then my portal teleports me to some other point with a shift. So, and it never ends. I mean, I get an infinite system of this brain wrapping this cylinder in a kind of a spiral. So, well, this is, of course, it's kind of a stupid picture because it's an infinite brain. You're never going to calculate anything with this infinite number of crossings and, like, God knows what it corresponds to after all. So, like, why would you consider this sort of thing? Well, if you persevere a little bit, like, for one more step, you see that this actually means something. Because if I have, imagine I label intermediate states on this brain, like, say this is lambda 0 here, lambda 1 here. So this lambda 1 is the same state as here. Lambda 1 is gets teleported, right? So it's the same state. So lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda 3, etc. ad infinitum. So something curious follows from the selection rules. Like, imagine I'm considering this second R matrix, just for simplicity. So there is a selection, selection rule like this, the intertwining rule, interlacing rule, sorry. That lambda 0 is interlacing lambda 1, is interlacing lambda 2. Again, there is a sequence of diagrams like this. So, and I need to take a sum over collections of Young diagrams satisfying this interlacing conditions. Now, what happens is that it actually has some higher dimensional description. It turns out that if I have a number of crossing like this, and I haven't drawn the crossing in the other way, but it turns out that it is natural to draw them as sort of opposite crossings here. So there is lambda minus 1, lambda minus 2, etc. And they go in the opposite direction. So this corresponds to sections of a 3D Young diagram, also known as a melting crystal. So I'm finishing. Like, the final statement is that the corresponding value of the intertwiner, of the product of our matrices, so R times R times R times R, and like infinite product like that, its vacuum matrix element turns out to be equal to this, what is called the K-theoretic vertex function on C3, which has three different independent deformation parameters, which, well, I leave it for the questions if you are interested. But the important point is that this is a new, well, this is the algebraic description of something which didn't have an algebraic description before this, K-theoretic vertex function. There was no understanding like this. Like, here there is this refined count on C3, but this one is more general. And it turns out that it also has this algebraic description in terms of this algebra. Sorry for running out of time. Thank you very much for your attention.
questions.
These are algebraic explanations of what have happened at the end. Is this like averaging of throughout the algebra which results in elliptization?
It is the algebraic description of this is a Drinfeld twist of an R matrix. You should view it like this. Like you have an R matrix sitting in the center somewhere, like this crossing. But then you have a bunch of crossings here and a bunch of kind of inverse crossings there. So this is an R twisted by this F opposite F and F opposite inverse, which are known as Drinfeld twists. Now, what is like this type of Drinfeld twist? They appear in elliptic deformations indeed. So this is some version of elliptization of the algebra. Just so my understanding so far is not complete, but this type of Drinfeld twists, they have appeared for elliptic quantum affine, like elliptic quantum affine algebras. And they were of similar form, like infinite product of R matrices with shifted parameters. So this probably is something related.
Maybe you can give the work of Gotan and Valerio.
Uh-huh.
You know the way they describe the trigonometric R matrix as an infinite product.
Yes.
The elliptic one is a W infinite product.
Yes.
Mind.
Probably it is related. Just there is, I don't have an intrinsic description of an infinite product, like an elliptic or something like that. So far, I only have an infinite product of R matrices like this, and I know that they should satisfy like Young-Baxter equation or some version of it. But morally speaking, this should be something like that, like an infinite product of trigonometric R matrices should be an elliptic R matrices, an elliptic R matrix. Or something like that. So again, I so far I don't have an intrinsic description of the whole object here. I just know that how to build it from the smaller objects.
But there are also probably shifts of spectral parameters in these matrices.
Yes. So here I was a bit schematic here because there is some operator, shift operator here, like lambda to the power d and m to the power d orthogonal, because there are two gradings in this algebra, so one of them shifts, one of them corresponds to the circumference of the circle, lambda, and the second corresponds to this M adjoint shift. So this acts on one of the legs of the R matrix, and it acts every time, you should insert it everywhere. So this type of shift is inserted between every R matrix. But, yeah, so.
Shouldn't 3D Young diagram have to do something with 7 grades?
Yes, they should. They should. But here, it is a sort of a dual description. The important point here is that there are three deformation parameters for this vertex. And they are not qt inverse and t over q, because qt inverse and t over q are already, like the product is 1, so they are not independent. So here it is a little bit, it's a, like a non-symmetric way of getting something very symmetric. Like here the deformation parameters are like this. So they are m t over square root of t over q. It's probably invisible. M inverse square root of t over q. And the third one is t inverse. So the product of them is q inverse. So you see, these two, they are not like, they don't talk to q and t. And the D7 brains in this description, they would have qt inverse and t over q. So the D7 are going to have indices q, t inverse, and t over q, because they are going to span in this diagram. So this, in fact, there is a pq, 7 brains, so they also have a direction in SL to z, right? So they should span these directions. So they are going to be labeled by three parameters with product 1. So the, this 3D Young diagram is going to be associated with the weights are going to be these parameters, not T1, T2, T3. So this T1, T2, T3 are sort of orthogonal to that plane. And this is a bit mysterious. I don't have a complete description, a complete explanation of this, but this is at least combinatorially, it is very curious how you can get sections of a 3D Young diagram in this funny way, in this spiral description. It turns out that the spiral branches, they are something. I mean, they appear, they give you some more things related to elliptic deformation. And this is the non-trivial elliptic deformation of the whole algebraic framework.
So if you look at the similar equation for the ordinary Orr matrix, you can derive it from Fourier transcendence by saying, well, the propagator for the elliptic curve is written in terms of the propagator for the plane by the method of images.
Yes.
So it's an infinite sum.
Yes.
Points. And then I exponentiate, you get this.
Yes.
So should there be a similar thing here for like the curve and the method of images?
Yes, one expects this. I don't know for sure yet, but there should be. Where is it? I'm sorry, I erased it. But there should be a Chern-Simons description of this, with Chern-Simons living on a torus instead of a cylinder. And yeah, exactly. Like one should compactify one of the directions. So the mirror images of a propagator, they should work, but then one needs to really exponentiate it. So that would be the hard part. The first order, absolutely, yes. And I'm pretty sure it will match, so because just how can it be otherwise? And usually, like, the first order, because of integrability properties, would guarantee the other orders, but that's as far as it gets in the field theory.
All right, are there any other questions? Okay.